Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Berkshire Grown will host its first Winter Farmers Market on January 17th and February 14th from 10 to 2 at Monument Valley Middle School in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. These events are an extension of the organization's holiday farmers markets, which enjoyed record attendance this past November and December. These popular events feature locally grown and produced food, plus live music, lunch fare, and activities for children during months when most farmers markets are not open in the region. Here to tell us more is Susie Konecki, who manages the creamery at Cricket Creek Farm. Her job includes cheese production, inventory, marketing, and sales, not to mention radio interviews. Susie, thank you very much for being with us. Great pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
How did you come to farming and specifically cheese?
That's a great question. I grew up in Brooklyn, actually. Never thought I would be a farmer. Didn't know what a farmer was. Eventually, I went to Cornell to study agriculture. And what I learned at Cornell is that they don't teach people how to be farmers. and so upon leaving Cornell, I traveled around a little bit working on some small farms, trying to pick up skills, and really found myself most interested in dairy and came to Cricket Creek Farm to work with the dairy cows and saw an opportunity there to learn how to make cheese. So I've been there for about 4 years and have been making cheese there ever since.
How difficult is it to make cheese? It seems what I have heard about cheese making is that it is persnickety.
It is. You know, what I tell people is it's not difficult to make cheese once, but what's tricky is to make cheese day in and day out, week in and week out, and have it come out the same every time. You know, it's like a complicated recipe from a new cookbook or something. You know, you can follow that recipe and come up with something that maybe your friends like it, maybe they won't. But if you want to make that same recipe every week, for the next decade or two decades, and have it taste exactly the same. So, you know, the people who are eating it, in our case, the chefs who are buying it or consumers who are giving it to their kids, they know that it's going to be the same. And the tricky thing for us is that since we're using fresh milk from grass-fed cows, the milk is constantly changing. So if you imagine a baker who's baking a certain bread every week, and her yeast or her flour, some weeks it is higher in protein, some weeks it's a little drier, some weeks it's a little wetter. That's like what it is for us with milk that's constantly changing. So it's a tricky thing to keep consistent, but it's a fun challenge.
How many different types of cheeses do you make?
We make 7 different types at Cricket Creek.
When you think of it, is that, given what you have and given the cows you have, what is available to you? Or could you say, oh, no, we could make 20 different other kinds of cheese?
We could make 20 different other kinds of cheese, but my philosophy is to pick a few things that we can do really well and focus in on that. Yeah. And maybe over the years, we'll add a couple more cheeses. You know, we've added a handful since I've been working at Cricket Creek, but you know, once you start doing too much, there's a risk of losing sight of the quality.
Sure.
And consistency.
So I'm a customer. I walk up and I say, so what's the best seller? What's the great cheese? What should I try? And your answer would be?
Well, I would ask you what you want to do with the cheese, because, you know, we have everything from a spreadable soft cheese, yep, to a feta cheese, to a really hard cheese that can only be grated. And, you know, whatever I would recommend to you is based on, do you want to cook with it? Do you want to put it on your sandwich for your kids? Do you want to just snack on it with crackers?
So it's football playoff season time. The playoffs are coming this weekend. We're going to have friends over. We would like to serve cheese as an appetizer. What would you recommend?
I would recommend a cheese called Maggie's Round. It's kind of an Italian tome style cheese, has a really bright, fruity flavor. It's not too stinky. It's not too soft. You can slice it well to put it on a cracker. Very approachable, but it's also interesting, and you can really taste a lot of the brightness that comes through in the milk.
Berkshire Grown is hosting its first Winter Farmers Market on January 17th and February 14th from 10 until 2 at Monument Valley Middle School in Great Barrington. And as I mentioned in the introduction, this comes off the holiday farmers markets. You took part in those.
Yes, we have.
And so you get an idea that people like this.
Yeah. You know, around the holidays, everybody is looking to buy food because they're bringing it as a hostess gift or they're cooking for a large group of people. And these markets have been a tremendous success. We probably, see 2 to 4 times as much business at each one of these holiday markets as we do at a regular summertime farmers market. So the idea with continuing throughout the winter and having this special January and February market is that, you know, even though people aren't gifting food quite as much, we're still eating through the winter and there should still be an emphasis on local food and quality food.
When Berkshire Grown comes to you and says, okay, we're going to do this, obviously this is a community. Berkshire Grown is a community. You have a community of farmers. So I would think that that would help you all get to know each other and how you can help each other. Like, you're all in this together, right?
Absolutely. And the organizers of Berkshire Grown are extremely responsive to the requests and the feedback of the farmers. So they asked us for a couple years leading up to this whether or not we would be interested in participating in a January and February special farmers market. And they really try to take the feedback of the farmers very seriously. And there are a lot of farmers in Berkshire County, but it, like you said, it's also a small group and we all know each other pretty well. And we all try to do what we can to support each other and boost each other up in this growing food economy.
How important are restaurants to you?
Extremely important. We sell probably a quarter of all of our cheese direct to chefs. And many of those chefs are right here in the Berkshires and Hudson Valley.
Which is great, and that is a recent, I say recent, but within the last couple decades, a movement where people have said, okay, we have this in our backyard, so let's use it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's sometimes the most fun and interesting relationship that we have is with the chefs, because they get to showcase all of the unique ways in which our cheese can be used. And a lot of people, maybe because of what they were fed when they grew up, or, you know, lack of time or energy or whatnot, think that, you know, cheese is what you put on a ham and cheese sandwich, you put it on crackers. And some of the chefs that we work with can come up with extremely interesting dishes, you know, making cheesecake or different things like that that are fun to see and showcase.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, so you're, as most people know, as a farmer, you know, you're just rolling in dough. And so good for you. And but seriously, you have a barn, a stone barn, and it needs repair and you got to work on it. And there's just so much cheese you can sell. So you have a Kickstarter campaign and it works out pretty well.
That's so beautiful and simple the way you put it. If only it was that simple. But yeah, yes, we did a Kickstarter campaign.
You're going to tell us all the sausages made, all right.
And it did work out pretty well. We raised over $115,000 from our community. And we are going to be renovating the barn. And part of the idea behind the barn is that once it's all fixed up and up to code, we're going to have it available to rent out to community members if they want to have a family reunion or a wedding or a special event. So in that way, we'll be able to continue. We're not just going to fix up the barn and have it sit. It will continue to generate revenue year after year after year for the farm to help us subsidize this little cow and cheese habit we have.
So what was the horrible part about that?
And nothing is horrible.
I mean, just the idea of, because you said if it was that easy. I mean, obviously, right. it's getting people to donate, right?
Right. Yeah. It was, you know, during the Kickstarter campaign, there's definitely a push to get people to donate. And then now that the money has been raised, getting the work done in the barn and then showing people that a farm is a really beautiful place to have a celebration, is a good place to have your family reunion or your birthday party or your wedding or whatever it might be, and kind of spreading the word that we offer that as well as a place where we can sell milk and cheese.
And you're incorporating solar power.
We are, yeah. So we're going to have full solar hot water. And let me tell you, on a dairy farm, you use a lot of hot water, keeping everything clean and sanitary. So that's another exciting piece that we raised money for in the Kickstarter project.
When it comes to the markets like this, does that help when you're in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign, because people are coming in and that's an opportunity to say, oh, well, you are a regular customer of our product. Perhaps you would like to help, or I would like to introduce myself and see what you can do.
Absolutely. The markets have benefits on so many different levels. And when we look at the success of a market, it's not just how much cheese did we sell, but how many people did we introduce to our farm store? Because we have a little store on our farm. How many people did we tell about the cheese making classes that we have at the farm. And, oh, they can come actually learn how to make cheese. How many people did we tell about our weekly newsletter that goes out to almost 3,000, you know, community members that give little updates on the farm? How many people did we tell about the possibility to have weddings on the farm? There are so many different ways in which we can connect with people. And, you know, we also sell pork. We also sell beef. We also have eggs and fresh raw milk. And so all of these different points of connection, and it's not just about selling cheese. So the more markets that we can have year-round, like this Berkshire Grown Farmers Market in the winter, just really gives us more opportunity to connect on the diversity of the farm.
Just because I'm fascinated about this, what are the positives of raw milk?
Oh, that's a huge topic. I know. Love that question, but I hope that we have 3 hours to talk about it.
We have as long as you want, but I'm just curious as to, because you hear positives and negatives, and I find it really interesting because of the farmers that I've talked to who offer it talk about that it's very popular.
Yeah, it is extremely popular, and it's growing in popularity. There's now 29 certified raw milk farms in Massachusetts. We are one of them. The benefit is that the milk is exactly as it came from the cow. So it hasn't been altered in any way. And when the milk comes out of the cow, it's rich in enzymes and probiotics that will help you digest that milk and incorporate it as a healthy food into your body. So, for example, people who are lactose intolerant can often drink raw milk because it has the enzymes that help you break down lactose. People who have a really sensitive gut and need to take a lot of probiotics, if they drink raw milk, that fresh milk is coming with that load of probiotics. Whereas any pasteurized milk, you know, basically the process is heating it up, sterilizing it, so you're killing everything, and it loses, you know, the host of bacteria and enzymes that come with the fresh milk. Now, that would be pasteurizing would be recommended if you had any reason to believe that the milk that you were drinking was not safe and clean.
Right.
But if you know that the milk that you're drinking is safe and clean, then getting it with everything that kind of as nature intended it to come with is a tremendous benefit.
And homogenization is exactly that, right? Of making batch A exactly like batch B, exactly like batch C, without any of the variables that you mentioned earlier that would reflect in what the cow is eating and the season and so forth.
So homogenization as a term with regards to milk basically refers to it being mixed in such a way, it goes through kind of a physical process so that the fat does not separate out to the top.
Right.
From a cheese making perspective, if you look at the ingredients list of a, just a really commercial kind of conventional cheese, you'll often see ingredients in there. For example, maybe whey protein or powdered whey. And that is because that cheese goes through a process called standardization. So, you know, sometimes milk is 3% fat, sometimes it's 4% fat, it can be up to 6%, same with the protein. And a big, large-scale cheesemaker doesn't want to have to deal with the seasonal variation that we celebrate in our cheese. They don't want to have to deal with that variation.
Right.
So they put in protein or they take out fat or whatever it might be so that the milk that they're starting with to make cheese is the same every single time. You know, they don't want any variation. We don't do that. So sometimes our cow's protein, like I said, is, you know, maybe 3%. Sometimes it's 4%. And we're going to make that cheese anyway with whatever kind of milk we have.
Well, you can certainly ask Susie all of more about this and about all of their wonderful products and find out more about Berkshire Grown at their Winter Farmers Market, which takes place on Saturdays, January 17th and Saturday, February 14th from 10 to 2 at Monument Valley Middle School in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And for more information, you can visit berkshiregrown.org, berkshiregrown.org. Susie Konecki, who manages the creamery at Cricket Creek Farm in Williamstown, Massachusetts, thank you very much for being with us.
For more information
about Cricket Creek, you can visit cricketcreekfarm.com, cricketcreekfarm.com, and links are also, of course, available at wamc.org/roundtable. Susie, a delight to speak with you. Thank you very much, and have a great time at the markets.
Thank you. You should stop by and try some cheese.
Sounds wonderful. Again, cricketcreekfarm.com or berkshiregrown.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.